We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count one, unintentional second-degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty. Same caption, verdict count two. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count two, third-degree murder, perpetrating an eminently dangerous act, find the defendant guilty. Same caption, verdict count three. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count three, second-degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, creating an unreasonable risk, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April, 2021, at 1:45 p.m.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jason, how are you, man? I feel like we're in historic times here a little bit, right?
It feels like history is constantly unfolding around us these days. I'm doing okay. Letting this news of the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial land in me. How are you doing, Marcus?
Well, I was on a plane when it happened. So the minute I landed, my phone was blowing up. I got text and started text with you and Jared. And I hope that April 20th or this spring is really, like, this verdict is definitely not the end, right? That this is really the beginning of something new. Right. That's truly what I hope. But the feeling I felt when Derek Chauvin was guilty on all three counts, it was more relief than anything. It's not a victory lap. It was more relief. And also a little bit surprise.
Totally agree.
Because we've been there before, right? It's not like it hasn't been videos to the Eric Garner. It's not like it hasn't been videos to the Mike Browns, et cetera, right?
To Mia Rice, yeah.
So,
A friend of mine sent me a short text reading, guilty equals accountability, not justice. And I think, well, that at least sums up a lot of what I've been, you know, catching from watching the news right after the verdict was issued, and what I've managed to kind of glean from the few articles I've breezed through today. How you know, it's such a unique it's so unique that you know that a police officer is actually convicted of a killing. And like you said, especially in this day and age when it's not just, stated facts, but it's actual, there's a heavy visual component. You know, obviously if there wasn't a video of the murder of George Floyd, well then Derek Chauvin probably still would be patrolling the streets of Minneapolis. Who knows, right? But we're at a point where something very unique has happened. He was actually held accountable for his violence, for a murder that he committed.
Yeah, I mean, there is so much to this. First of all, we hear because what a teenager, what a 17-year-old, young, super brave, person recorded, right? Because if you look at the police report, what happened versus what actually happened, I think so that's just an important fact. Like, we're not here because the culture of police had changed pre this, right? We here because there was a 9 minutes and 29 seconds you know, video phone recording of this. And we also hear, I think, because as a society, starting with the United States, starting with Minnesota, the culture has to change, right? And I have to say the tonality after this is different than all the other ones, right? First of all, you hear from Keith Ellison, you know, the general attorney of Minnesota. You hear from...
He was very eloquent in his statement today.
But you heard from Kamala Harris early.
But the thing is, Marcus, what I just like to say, you know, the fact that Derek Chauvin was convicted is correct. He is supposed to be held accountable. I mean, we all know this. You know, when somebody asked me today, what do you think of the verdict? I said, well, I think it was the only, for me, it was the only outcome that would make any sense. It would be that he was convicted of it. But it's odd that it's so unique still, because to us, you know, millions of people all around the world, hundreds of millions who have seen this film, I think a lot of people were thinking, well, that was murder. The murderer should be held accountable. Yet and still, that's not historically the case. That in this one instance it happened, I wonder if really this is going to affect systemic change or structural change. Maybe in the long run?
Before this, I would think about something like Rodney King when the whole world was engaged, but we didn't have social media at that point, right? So it was mostly through CNN reports or maybe other vessels, right? This is something that truly has engaged the world in a way. And social media has been, and it's been driven also a lot by youth, but it's been driven by, obviously, by people of color, but all people of color across the world, right? And I do think this video is so different, because with Derek Chauvin, if you look into his, if you watch his eyes, he was so calm. He knew that he had this code of blue covering him. Never in the state of Minnesota have a police officer been convicted against a killing of a black man. So this is the first for that, right? So he had, in a very wrong way, he knew he was protected, right? And I think this, that video, it's actually the calm for me in the video is what's the craziest here, right? He's sitting with his knee on George Floyd's neck, and he's just super calm, and he knows he's going to murder somebody. He knows it's being video filmed, but he's not at all panicked about it. That means to me that he's protected by something, right? And I do think that it's that has really, it's changed.
That feeling of impunity that can lead somebody to even, because now, and that's the relief that comes in, now he's been convicted. The other three police officers are about to go on trial shortly. So now everybody's up for judgment. One person has been found guilty, held accountable, held responsible. And even the police officers who weren't doing the killing, but who were kind of, who were aiding and assisting the killing will also be held accountable. But all four of them, in the moment where the murder was happening, in the moments and minutes when the murder was happening, felt that this was okay. So something led them to conduct their policing business in that way. And again, I mean, you know, and I know, and our listeners know that this is it's so far from the first time. This is a long history of anti-Black violence by specifically white men, and often white men in blue uniforms. And not only in the United States, but also in Sweden, in the UK, in Germany, in all countries where Black and brown people live. And that's why I think, like, yes, relief is definitely the emotion that I was feeling yesterday. I mean, I remember we texted, or emotion was, relief was definitely the emotion I was feeling right when I found out, you know, because it was all over the news that in 1 hour, the verdict will be read. And I texted you and Jared directly, and it's like, whoa, it looks like this is happening soon. And then we were in text, then we were in communication, and I turned CNN on, and you know, the judge came on, and I was like, all right, here we go. And it was like, I mean, I wasn't the only one. Obviously, everybody was holding their breath. What is he going to say? Relief was definitely the only thing I was feeling at that point.
But I do think there is a, and this is important, right? Tone matters, right? And that's why I say, and tone matters from the highest office, both from the local level in Minnesota and Minneapolis, but also from the highest office in the United States. So to hear almost immediately that Joe Biden called the Floyd family, that was important, and it was the right, it's like reading the room, showing vulnerability, showing sensitivity, you know, engaging with on a family level, then hearing from Vice President Kamala Harris, for example, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I do think that this is, it's not just broadcast and theatrical optics. This is important because we're gonna, it's too close today, but this day is going down in history, and then what happened, right? And this is, we're watching this, and on a local level, there are police, law enforcement across this country that said, hey, we have to change the way we engage in the communities, right? Might not be right away, but if let's say the president wouldn't have gotten involved, let's say vice president wouldn't have gotten involved, it just gives green light to continue with this bad culture, right? And at the end of the day, that's really what has to happen. We have to culturally think about how do we evolve policing in the, you know, in 2021 and 22 and et cetera for the future, right? Like, do we have to send weapon armed police officer for every event, for example? Of course we don't have to, right? You think about, was it necessary to send an armed officer to Dante Wright? What would the outcome have been if we wouldn't have done that, right? Do you know what I mean? So there's clearly the over-policing. It's not just by numbers, but it's also, at what case do we send mental health workers? At what case do we send armed police officer, and what cases do we actually send something else? Everything else in society, Jason, is constantly being worked on. You are not doing the albums the way you did albums when you started in the 90s, but you still loved the art of music,
our software
and hip-hop.
Is being constantly
of
updated.
Course. Yeah. So why wouldn't we do that in gym? I'm not cooking
but
in
this,
the same
but,
way.
But look at it. This the policing software is being updated too, but in the wrong direction. I mean, as far as the weaponization, I haven't seen it with my own eyes, but just last summer seeing police in Portland, Oregon, you know, it looked like they look like soldiers in Fallujah, you know, in camo gear and their masks and the size of the guns. I mean, that's a clear difference from 92 when the riots were going down in LA, where, you know, it was police officers in traditional police officer uniform. Nowadays, they look like it's military style, you know, so it's definitely gone in the wrong direction.
It's also about teaching de-escalating situations, right? And if you have context of, and I'm going to say on a local level, right? There is something like the Police Athletic League where police officers play basketball with local kids, right? Well, it's just things like that, that you have other engagement when you know that person, when you know so-and-so, right? So the context of how police engages in the community obviously changes when you start seeing people versus numbers and just stats, right? So I hope, and I really, really hope that this is a really the first day in many to come where the U.S. really starts saying, hey, we can't go on like this. And
remember back when we did our recording after the election, Marcus, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, it took a global pandemic to dethrone the previous president, right? A global, like, the distinctly biggest single event to happen globally in our lifetimes to dethrone the previous president and make way for a President Biden. I kind of feel like this guilty verdict also demanded this, the global uprising that we saw last year. You know, the burning summer and fall of intense protests, you know, going on for months at end in certain cities, Portland, for example. The level of consciousness, outrage, and voices speaking out on this globally, you know, that pushed the envelope so that we could hear the verdict being read and Derek Chauvin being found guilty on all three counts. That and a 9-minute piece of visual footage. This is what actually happened. So that in itself, you would think, would be enough for the verdict to go the right way. Mm-mm, not at all. We saw that with Philando Castile, for example. But, you know, it's just, it takes all this massive global energy to kind of make, to bend that, that moral arc that Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about, to bend that towards justice, takes all this widespread global effort.
And local heroes, and true local heroes, because a lot of groundwork has been done.
Yeah, but I mean, local heroes, it's just, if it weren't for this massive uprising demanding justice, then you know, justice is not something that the system self-produces. That we know that, obviously. It's just, I don't know what the proper adjective is, but it's just incredible to take that in, that this is what it takes to get get a police officer to be held accountable. Literally millions of people across the world protesting it.
But I think, once again, America shows that, it shows its complexity, right? To get somebody to a guilty verdict, it's layered, highly layered and complex. And the system is not a straight arrow. And we would be in a completely different place if we wouldn't have that video. That's a given, right?
That's just number one.
But then we also have like some local heroes, like someone like Donald Williams that, you know, very articulate, you know, he never, when you look at the defense, right, that constantly tried to tear apart and dehumanize George Floyd, right? And just throwing in that level of doubt, because it only takes one juror to go for that doubt. Like they even said, you know, all the different things that they made up there, right? It was just to throw in some doubt, right? The defense tried to paint Donald Williams as
carbon,
an angry,
monoxide poisoning.
Yeah, and they tried to paint Donald Williams as an angry black man, because that narrative is so known. And it's like, no, you're not going to paint that picture of me, right? And so I mean that there was a lot of people that stood up and made this, and local heroes, quiet heroes. We know a lot of people quit their jobs and just went to Minneapolis to be part of it, to be part of the resistance. And so it is, it's a tale of that. It's a tale of completely sadness that I think hopefully something eventually better is going to come out of this. We know that we have to change things, right? What that looked like, we're not going to see that today, tomorrow, but being in the U.S., there is a completely different feel and mode, and I hope that this is a new day.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Marcus, one of the most eloquent voices we've had on this moment is Kimberly Jones. And I know that you reached out to her recently to talk about her feelings and thoughts when the trial against Derek Chauvin was going on. How was that conversation, Marcus?
No, one of the things that Kimberly and I talked about was, you know, how it is to raise a black son during these times, right? Her son, being a teenager, is just a little bit older than Adam Toledo.
So how do you, as a mother raising a teenager, how do you process all this?
Well, the first thing I do is communication with my son, right? Like letting him know. Unfortunately, you know, as black parents, we have to have conversations with our kids that other people don't have to have. And it's not about allowing our kids to submit to the white supremacist delusion. It's more about keeping them safe and giving them the awareness around themselves to know how they face different challenges and how to be prepared to combat those challenges. I'm fortunate that I have a really amazing relationship with my co-parent, with my son's father. And so he is really good also at engaging in those conversations, particularly as having a very specific lived experience as a black man in America, to have those conversations with our son, to give our son the preparedness he needs to combat that. Our son is, you know, the benefit of our hard work. My ex and I both, you know, grew up in very marginalized communities where we were exposed to even more atrocities and disenfranchisement than what my son has experienced. So also being transparent and sharing some of those stories with him about our lived experience helps to also not only give him some guiding points to how to survive, but also to nurture in him some empathy for people who have a different lived experience than he does, because he has above some of the kids, you know, kids his age that are experiencing these atrocities.
Adam Toledo, 13 years old, 2 years younger than your son. Like, how do we even process that?
Yeah, I was like, his poor mother. Oh, Lord, his poor mother. I can only imagine her pain. And that case in particular hit me really hard because I live in Atlanta. I have lived in Atlanta for a very long time, but Chicago is my hometown. So this happened in my backyard, in a sense. And so I just also am concerned concerned about people of color consistently having to consume these moments, because it is death by a thousand cuts. It's even though we think we're just watching a video, we're just reading a news clip, we're just, you know, we put that term just in front of those things. There's no way it's not having a psychological impact on you to consume trauma that has the potentiality to affect you or your family in the way that we do. But I think first things first is always how to process those things, is just sit back, take a moment and relax before we speak, before we have a knee-jerk reaction or anything like that. And then figure out best ways that we can honor that person and their family through this time, and being sympathetic to what the families could be going, you know, could be going through and everything like that. And then third is just to remember to always, always, always be also working on, as a collective of people of color, our own healing, because the trauma based in all these situations is having its effect on all of us.
We also talk about mental health and how you work on self-care, you know, and she's not shy about it. She works really, really hard. And then to reload, she just goes away.
I really look forward to hearing it, Marcus.
I feel like in moments like this, sometimes it's too much. It comes, I'm appreciative of the information, but it's also hard. Where do I put that into my body as I'm raising my son, as I'm trying to go to work? How do I not put this as just takes over my day completely? How do you stay up and don't become depressed mentally? Because this is hard work.
I have three things that I lean on predominantly. One is my hobby, my love, my passion is travel. I love to travel. I do not allow myself to feel bad or guilty when I have hit a wall and know that I need a vacation. I just got back home yesterday because I just woke up on Monday morning and was like, I can feel the anxiety and the angst and the down. And I was like, you know what? I live in Georgia. It's going to be, even to book a flight today, it's going to be cheap to get to Fort Lauderdale. I'm going to Florida tomorrow. Just need to spend like 2 or 3 days in Fort Lauderdale, by the water, decompress, do whatever I need to do. And so I used to feel guilty about things like that, but I don't anymore. And I, with time, I've learned to not feel any way about taking that time for myself. The second thing that I do is, along with some good friends, we run a one-day retreat every third Sunday of the month. We run an event called Revolutionary Healing. And it is a full-day retreat that we offer to Black and Native Indigenous people of America. We always do it in a very green space, so there can be lots of social distancing. We do it in places that have acres and acres of land. And we have griots that come to speak, and we have different workshops. And we always do it in a space that has interesting activities. Like for this Sunday, we're doing at a strawberry patch. So people are going to be able to do strawberry picking, but then we'll also have like yoga and trauma therapy and all of these things out here in the open, fresh air. And then the third thing is, which is the smart thing that we all do, is like, I lean on the people who love me. I try not to lean on them too hard and break it up and, you know, do it with different, I vent to my sister this week and then, you know, vent to my best friend the next week. But, you know, I allow myself to be vulnerable with people who make me feel safe so that I can get some of this off my chest.
Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for being in of it and of it and being a friend of this moment. We appreciate and we love you. And you can go to Fort Lauderdale as many times as you want, because you deserve it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Jason, I also thought about us, because this moment really came out of this last spring, right? Us talking, us sharing, what is this, the transatlantic bridge? How is the news of Black Lives Matters and the incredible work that was done during the spring of 2020 by so many here in the States, and then eventually coming to Sweden as well. So I guess now it's back to music and food, is it?
Marcus, the first episode that we published, we had recorded several before, was number one, was called George Floyd. So you know, and this will be our 50-somethingth episode about the guilty verdict of Derek Chauvin. So rest in power to George Floyd, at least in this instance, in this unique case, you know, accountability was held. Thank you so much to Kimberly Jones for coming back on This Moment. Marcus, be well, brother. And thank you, everybody, for listening. If you have suggestions, thoughts, stories you want to share, email us at thismomentpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, This Moment Podcast, and we will be back next week. Peace.
Peace, my brother. Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.